This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, and I'm talking with Steve Gumbel. Steve, as many know, is the visionary, the founder, and the impresario behind Telluride Blues and Brews, now in its 19th year. The next event is September 14th through September 16th. We're talking about the evolution of Telluride Blues and Brews and its present and where it's heading. Steve, thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me, Susan.
So looking back at 19 years of sort of uninterrupted growth, and now you've developed a global reputation, what are you proudest of having accomplished?
Well, I just think you sort of said it. It's our growth. We've started from a little microbrewery festival in 1994, you know, hoping that 500 people would show up, to an international music festival that 9,000 people show up to. So, you know, just it's grown over the years. It's grown healthy. And judging by the popularity of it, we've grown it in the right direction. So, you know, it was a grassroots effort, and it's now something that affects many people on a global level, and I'm super proud of that.
Wonderful. What has been some of the greatest challenges you've had to do what you've done?
You know, there's constant challenges. I think the biggest curveball that it was ever thrown to us was 9/11. And 9/11 happened the Tuesday before the festival. And so the airways were closed down. Getting people here, even making the decision of should we continue or not, was a challenging decision. But you know, we decided it was a blues festival, and blues, you know, kind of grew out of the cotton field as a way of healing and singing and making people feel better. And so we continued on with the festival, but we had to duct tape it together because artists couldn't get here. We had to rent jets to get James Brown here. So on an individual level, on a selected level, that was the most challenging thing that we've ever been through. You know, we always are dealing with good weather, bad weather, artists being delayed, altitude sickness, you know, all those things.
Yes.
Our yearly struggles, and we deal with them, we expect them, and my team knows what to do in those situations. 9/11 was a little different,
I would say, for all of us.
Yep.
So now a more nuts and bolts question. I think people out there would be curious to know how you put together your lineup.
Boy, I don't know. That's my secret. I don't know. It's like a recipe, right? You know, you don't reveal your secrets. But you know, I spend the year attending music events. I have certain individuals in my life that I completely respect on their musical taste. And it's my taste and my staff's taste, you know, so you put all those ingredients together, and I can keep my finger on the pulse, and I kind of know what's up and coming, and it gives me a real clear vision as to what I want to do. Now, it's not always what we ultimately end up with, because as people probably don't know or don't think about, it's very challenging to get some of the artists that we get to come to Telluride. Touring schedules, logistics, you know, various reasons. So, you know, I have my ultimate wish list, and it doesn't always pan out to do that at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, I'm always super proud of our lineups, and you know, judging by our attendance, I think I've got the right recipe.
I think you do. The choice of your vendors. Particularly the beer guys, but not just the beer guys. You also have food around the park and other sorts of vendors. How do you choose them?
You know, believe it or not, I sort of insulate myself from that process. You know, I instruct my staff to, you know, look at our local vendors who are submitting, look at our past history of vendors that have been here. And be diverse and unique and creative, and that's sort of the approach that I encourage. I try to stay away from it on a personal level, only because, you know, we don't always accept everyone. We have to get a lot more applications than we have spots. And so it's easy for them to come back to me and go, why didn't you choose us? And, you know, so, you know, it's a matter of space. Sometimes it's a matter of, it's not the creative menu that we want and those sort of things. But I direct my staff into being creative and selecting local first and then creative secondly. And they, I think they do a great job. And we get some great submittals from people. And you know, diversity and fun is what I ultimately want at the end of the day. And I think my staff does a good job at of selecting that.
So, again, your growth has been fairly organic and fairly seamless, apart from glitches like 9/11. But what changes have you made that have enhanced your festival over the years?
Well, you know, as our success grows, it affords us the ability to add bells and whistles and really make it a user-friendly experience. So the minute that you walk into the park, you feel that energy. You feel that it's a unique experience. It's not, you know, I like to call us the intimate alternative in music festivals. And there's something to be said for that. There's so many of these large-scale music festivals, 75, 100,000 people, and you just can't create the vibe and the energy that a smaller 9,000, 10,000 person event can create. So, you know, we add things like screens. We add things in the woods, lasers and light shows and things like that. It just those are bells and whistles, and those are icing on a really tasty cake. And so I think, you know, that's, you know, providing a really unique and creative, memorable experience and you know, beating, or I don't know if the word is beating, but reaching and attaining someone's expectation and then exceeding it is sort of the key to success. And over the years, we've been able to do that, and that's how at the end of the day, we want to create a better product each year. Each year, we look at it and say, what can we do better? And I think it reflects in the experience once you get into the park.
So you gave me a very nice transition. We were talking about each year reaching higher and higher. You have said publicly that this year may be the most eclectic and exciting lineup in the history of the festival. Do you want to comment about that and sort of close out with a look at 2012?
Well, yeah, you know, every year I try to do something different and not to repeat and kind of keep it creative and fresh. And having the B-52s here, I think, it's a cross-generational band that the young are know of them, and the older, our older demographic, can't wait to see them in Town Park, you know. And then you go to somebody like Phil Lesh from the Grateful Dead, which is extremely fitting that 25 years ago, so the 25th anniversary of the Grateful Dead playing in Telluride. And so it's kind of, you know, I'm kind of excited to be able to say, hey, you know, welcome back 25 years later, and mm-hmm. Here we are. Telluride's still doing it on that stage. And so, you know, it's diverse. We go out of the traditional blues box, and I have to do that for many reasons, but yet there's still a backbone with blues in the whole weekend, and I hope it translates to an exciting and eclectic and different experience every year, and it just brings people back, and it wants them to come back, and wants to make them come back and it hopefully bring their friends if we create the experience and keep it fresh every year. So that's sort of my approach to that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. This has been Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Steve Gumbel, whose great success has been the Telluride Blues and Brews Festival, which has grown steadily over a 19-year trajectory. and continues to grow and thrive. Steve, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.